This morning, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to have you go to Galatians, the first chapter. And as I was preparing my heart for this morning, seeking the Lord and what He'd have us to minister, I began to sense in my spirit the Lord would have us go through a little bit what we've been, just in the last couple Wednesdays, been dealing with on Wednesday night. Some of you, you're not able to be with us on our midweek teachings. And some of you, work commitments, the distance, it's a far drive. There's just other reasons that you can't be with us. And in my heart, I just wanted you to get a little sample of kind of what we deal with on Wednesday nights. This morning probably be a little more teaching than preaching, but we'll just let the Lord have His way, because every time I say that, God just takes over. Amen. And that's always a good thing. Praise the Lord. But we want you instructed in the gospel, in the Word of God. And it is so important. Today, most Christians are scripturally illiterate. They don't know their Bibles. They know a few Bible verses that they probably remember from Sunday school. And I think the greatest travesty, I think, when it comes to the common child of God believer today, is not only do we not know the Scriptures, we don't really know the truth and walk in that truth that has been provided through the cross of Jesus Christ. God has ordained that every son and daughter that is adopted by God by faith in Jesus Christ would come to know the benefits for which their Savior died to give them on a daily basis, extended on the platform of grace. Amen? Paul, or I believe it said in one of the Gospels, of the grace that was to come unto you. God wants to bring His grace to you and to me. And friend, to know His grace, grace is not a greasy grace. It's not sloppy agape, as some people call. The true grace of God teaches us, according to the Apostle Paul, to deny worldliness and all ungodly desires. The true grace of God teaches us to live right, but with His help. Amen. Not by the strength of our flesh, but with the internal power of God that abides in every one of our hearts. Let me share this with you. God so loves every single one of us and every one of you in this house. Whether you're naughty or nice, it matters not. He loves you the same. Amen? If you're naughty, He'll clean your clock. He'll deal with you. And then on the good side of the fence, if we're so good that we're lifted up and puffed up, He knows how to bring us down. Amen. So there's two sides of that coin, my friend. But because of His love for you and His love for me, God wants you to walk in His grace and mercy and power, and to know His victory, and to know how to be free from the struggle of sin that's in our hearts at times through that old man. Amen. And Paul deals with something here this morning, and we're going to just talk about this for a few moments this morning. But Galatians chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 6. We covered this Wednesday night, but I want to go a little deeper into this morning with you. Paul said it this way. He's speaking to the churches of the Galatians. He said that, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cut off." That's pretty strong. He said accursed. It means cut him off. Banish him. Don't buy his tapes. Don't buy his books. Don't read his commentaries. That's the harshness that Paul is using. If he preaches anything contrary to the gospel that Paul taught, don't give him Godspeed. "As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than what you have received, let him be cut off, accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Jesus Christ." And with that this morning, we're going to look at the grace factor. The grace factor. Let's go before God. Father, again, We're just thankful for those that have gathered in your name, and it's our heart and our desire, Lord, that you help us from heaven and strengthen us in the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the simple worship we had this morning, how hearts were touched, and we lifted up the name of Jesus Christ, and we thank God for his Holy Spirit. This morning, Lord, be the teacher, the preacher. Send him forth. And Lord, anoint these clay lips that they may speak as the oracles of God. And Lord, anoint our clay hearts that we may perceive and understand and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless the live stream. Bless Children's Church. Give them their portion this morning in Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen and amen. It's always the temptation of the child of God, as a sheep would have those characteristics, to wander from time to time from this place we call home. Sheep in the Old Testament were always referred to, in a sense, as God's people, the sheep of his pasture. Sheep always needed a shepherd. Sheep are docile. They can't protect themselves. They need one who watches over them to guard them, to make sure that they are led into proper pasture, that they would eat the right foods that would not cause an irritation with their digestive system. And even at the beckoning of the shepherd, sometimes a sheep or two would wander and try to go astray. That's why in Isaiah 53 it says, "You and I, like sheep, have at times gone astray, away from God." But the shepherd, who is faithful to his own, will leave the 99 and at times have to go after the one. And sometimes you and I have been that one that he has gone for. And thank God that he brought us back to the foundation of the faith, the foundation of the gospel, the blood of Jesus Christ and his victory, his imputed righteousness, what he provides. Amen. And as God would picture story, sheep as being human beings, you know, we can tend so easily to be led astray when we see the flashing lights of men and people and ministers that have other approaches to this thing called Christendom. How many times have you and I been duped? And at times our heart has been hooked because we've seen something that drew our interest. A message that somebody else is preaching, and we thought maybe therein lies the key of what I've been waiting for, what I've been looking for. And sometimes those vulnerabilities of our unmet needs. I remember until I understood the cross, I was always, spiritually speaking, looking for the Holy Grail. That key to the Word that would catapult me into kingdom come, that would give me that victory, that would take me into the blessings of God as never before. And so you get on the treadmill of works and you begin to seek and you begin to try different feedings from different pastures, looking for that which may satisfy. But as a sheep, we went astray. But thank God, the Holy Spirit knows where you've gone, and he knows where I have strayed to. And Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, will come, and he will always bring our heart back to that place where it needs to be if we'll just allow him to. Amen. Amen. And sometimes, my friend, the journey is painful, and sometimes there's a lot of wreckage. My God, there's a lot of wreckage at times. And so we see this tendency to stray, to go away from the truth. Paul had this same trouble. I'm reading a story out of Old Testament Israel. I want you to see something here that even they dealt with situations where there was always some pressure to yield them or bring them away from their homeland. In fact, it said in 2 Kings chapter 18, it says, "Don't hearken unto Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present or a bribe, and come out to me, and then eat you every man of his own vine, and every one of his own fig tree, and drink ye every one waters of his own cistern." In other words, they're promising something better than what they have. And so the enemy of Israel is saying, "Come on out and follow me. Don't listen to King Hezekiah, who says he's got the word of the Lord. I got something over here for you much better. Come with me. Come over here. Don't yield to this place. Move on from him, because we got something going on." You see, that's what that enemy was saying. "Until I come and take you away unto a land like unto your own." Oh, it's a land of corn and of wine, a land of bread and vineyards. It's a land of olive oil and of honey, that you may live and not die. "And hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuades you, saying, Oh, the Lord will deliver us." In other words, if you want it good for you, you want it to go easy for you, just come and hearken unto our gospel. Come to our church, where we got the bells and the hoopla, and we got all the excitement going on. Look at our pews are full. We got the sound stages and the $100,000 sound systems. We play secular music in the lobby. Oh, our church is packed. Come unto a land like unto your own, you see. You see, today there's a seeker-sensitive movement that is so watered down the true grace of God, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, oh, it's kind of like a land unto your own. There is a little gospel there. I guess a man and woman can get saved in a church like that, because in a sense, if there's a little bit of scripture being preached, you can get saved in a denominational church if you have a hungry heart. Amen? And the word of God comes alive for you. You can believe on Jesus Christ and be truly born again. But they can't take you any farther than that. You see, Paul had a problem with the Galatian churches. He had established the message of grace in those churches through putting their trust in Jesus Christ and Him crucified for them. Paul's message, "I came preaching not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came preaching in power and demonstration of spirit, and my message is this, the word of the cross. Where is your victory, your power, your justification, your sanctification, and your eternity?" That is the message that Paul established in the Galatian churches. He spent a couple years there. He got them on the right foundation as a wise master builder. He led them to put their daily faith in the finished work of the cross on their behalf. And if they would do that, they would experience grace, mercy, liberty, power, strength, answered prayer, prosperity, increase, the blessing of God like they've never seen before. In fact, Paul even said in them epistles, there was even times where there was many miracles. Amen. Because the truth was presented. The gospel was preached. And I'm here to say this morning, my friend, Promised Land Church does its best to get the believer to the foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We have nothing to give you but Christ and His shed blood on your behalf. And if you put your trust in Him, if you believe in the finished work, you'll start seeing the goodness and the glory of God like you've never seen before. My God, we're not preaching hot air. We're preaching a truth that'll change your life. Amen. Oh, hear me this morning. Paul, he said, I marvel. We brought this out Wednesday night. He was bewildered. I marvel. You've come to the truth. You found liberty. You've been free from the bond of religion. Just as Jesus said, you can go in and out and you find pasture. You find liberty, victory. You find strength. You find the favor of God on your life. And you know that it's a result of you believing what we've been teaching you. But I go away to continue on other missionary endeavors. And now all of a sudden I hear that you've moved from Him that called you into this. And Paul's not talking about himself. You see, when men depart from truth, when men depart from the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, they default always to this thing called law. And it's the law of sin and death. It's the law of performance Christianity. It's the law that if you're trying to justify yourself through what you're doing, my friend, you've frustrated grace, and friend, God can't help you. Amen? And that's where much of the church is today as I speak. Much of the church out there is trying to function in the kingdom of God, in Christianity, under the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. You're either under the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus because you're believing what has been done. And you're not trying to earn it for yourself through your merit, your goodness, your performance, your great devotional life. You're just accepting what Jesus Christ has provided by faith. Amen? And something ignites in your heart. Something comes alive. Something that's joy unspeakable, full of glory, because I'm accepted, I'm loved, God has my back, He's got my future, He's got my everything, hallelujah. I can rest in Him, I can walk with Him, I'm hand in hand with Jesus Christ by faith, and guess what? He does it all through us. Oh, glory to God. And Paul said, I marvel that you've so soon removed yourself from the Holy Spirit, from Jesus Christ, who's called you into this. And you've turned to another system of faith. But it's not faith in a finished work. It's faith in what you're going to do now. He says, now you start observing holy days, new moons, and Sabbaths. You start bringing in rituals. You start putting yokes on men's shoulders that they're not meant to bear. That's already been fulfilled and hung on the cross with Jesus Christ. These things men have been delivered from. You're under a new covenant. You're not under the old covenant of law keeping to be in right standing with God. It's been a provision of the cross. It's imputed righteousness. It's given to whosoever will. And this is what I love about imputed righteousness. The righteousness I have right now as I preach to you is the same righteousness you have sitting listening to me. Amen? Hallelujah. It's the same righteousness that God recognizes. It's the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And can I say this carefully? But as long as your faith is in Christ and His shed blood for you, God sees you as perfect. Amen? Because you're in His Son by faith. And friend, you don't have to go too far to realize we're far from perfect in our behavior and how we walk this out. But we are a work in progress. Amen? And you will see victories. Over and over, victories. There will be times of mountain experiences, times of valleys low, times that, you know, we're in the plane of life. It's just the routine, the mundane routine of things. But when you follow Jesus long enough, my God, He brings you through it all. Amen? And He brings you through with power and with joy and with victory. Amen? He doesn't kick you to the curb. He don't kick you to the moon. Amen? Amen. He's always there to be a blessing. And so Paul, he was struck with bewilderment. I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ. Now listen, the true gospel is called the gospel of grace, according to Paul. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of grace. The legalistic individual hates that. Every single time. We're saved by faith through grace. It's not of our works, lest any man should boast, including you, preacher. Amen? They always qualify it. Say, yeah, I believe in the grace of God, but I believe in God's grace. Yeah, I believe it's a finished work, but I believe that Jesus Christ is my righteousness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that, you know, but you still have to. You still have to. You still have to. You still have to. See, that's where the grace message gets hung up on. And when we've, especially, listen, I can write the book on legalism. I come through it. I know the mindset. And I can smell them a mile away. I've been there. I come through it. And thank God, He got my attention. Amen. Some of them, when God's trying to deal with it, they start getting a hold of the message of grace and the cross, and all of a sudden then the legalist gets a hold of them and says, yeah, but you still got it. Yeah, but you still got it. And they go, yeah, I guess you kind of do. And then they pull away from the message, and then you hear them a year later, and everything is crumbled in their life. I can give names of people that Liz and I have watched that happened to. The message of the cross, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is called the gospel of grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God given to undeserving people. And the Holy Spirit never calls one to any other variances of the gospel. It's only by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. Amen. And then Paul will go on that, I marvel that you've removed yourself from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now listen what he says here. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. He called it a perversion. Men pervert the simple truth of what I'm trying to bring out this morning. Your faith is not in Promised Land, not in Pastor Jeff. So get off my back. I'm not your Savior. I'm not your Lord. I don't want to be. And if I want to be, get out of here because I'm dangerous to you. Run while you got the chance. Listen to this. All perversion of the true gospel attacks the grace factor. All perversion of the true gospel will always attack the grace factor. It'll either add works to what is a finished work, or the other side of that coin, it'll hype grace into license known as antinomianism or anti-law. In other words, there's a fine line here. When we pervert the simple truth of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we either go to the extreme to say, as I was earlier saying, yes, we believe in the grace of God, but you have to fill in the blank. And then we got those on the other side of the coin. Oh, it's all by grace. It don't matter. There's no law. I can do anything I want, and it doesn't matter because it's all covered by grace, brother. God will never correct me, judge me. He'll never deal with me. I can do anything I want. I can sin and never repent. I can do things that, you know, because, oh, the Bible says, you know, there's no law to him that is in, you know, blah, 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 and they'll twist the scripture. The grace of God teaches me. The true grace. That's what Paul qualified it. The true grace of God teaches me to deny the anti-law movement. It'll teach me a holy life. It'll teach me purity. It'll teach me that this world is still an enemy of the believer. It's world system, I should say. See? So there's that fine line. That fine line. You see, folks, the Galatian churches, they didn't realize what was happening. But if you read towards the end of that epistle, Paul's talking about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And he's really making a comparison. He's really trying to say, you have left grace, you have frustrated grace, you have allowed those to come in and pervert the truth. They got you back on that pathway of legalistic righteousness. And friend, I'm sorry, but you're under the curse when you do that, because you've removed yourself from under the umbrella of the grace of God and how it functions in the believer's life. Why is there so many Christians out there that don't see answered prayer like they ought to, the increase of God like they ought to, the blessing of God like they ought, the peace of God like they ought to? Amen? It could be either they're going through a good fashion trial or they're not properly in the faith. And how do we know what the faith is unless it's taught us? We're in a time where believers don't want to be taught. We want to flow with the Holy Spirit, brother. People trying to hear from God but won't open their Bible. I'm just out in the cloud. Now listen, I believe in prayer and worship, and I believe in praying in the Holy Ghost, and I believe in waiting on God and prayer, and there's times you'll feel things. But you know, every time I hear the voice of God, it seems most of the time a scripture is impressed in my heart. God illuminates His Word to me. And friend, how can Jesus bring it back to your remembrance if you're not taking some time to be taught and learn of the Word and get the Word in your heart that He can speak to you? Amen. Amen. So, All perversion of the true gospel attacks what's known as the grace factor. It'll add works to it, or it'll take you into license. The instigators of this perversion are referred to them as those that trouble you, those that bring confusion, cause double-mindedness, add fear or anxiety to, or one that comes to knock one off a sure foundation, like playing King of the Hill almost. The gospel of grace is where you and I, as I speak to you, should be living by faith. When we came into the house of God this morning, you don't come to get, how can I say, as we minister the word, to get on the right foundation. You come as one that's already on the right foundation. And as we preach, it reinforces that foundation that you're already building upon. And if you're not on that foundation, then what we preach sorts out things in your heart and it shows you where to put your faith. Your faith must be anchored in Jesus Christ and His work on the cross for your behalf and for your personal benefit. Jesus and the blood. It has to be there, period. Paul would say it this way, and in Him you are complete. Either you are or you're not. Either we are complete in Christ or Paul is lying. And what gets us into trouble are when the Judaizers come in, knock us off that foundation, attack the grace of God. See, this is what Paul had to deal with. You see, in fact, they tell us, it's kind of in some of the commentators will say this, James, who was the head of the Jerusalem church, was probably the instigator of this. He would still say, but the boy baby should still be circumcised on the eighth day. Well, there are still a few feasts of the year that we need to, like Passover, we still need to attend these things. And see, it took it all out of Judaism and it tried to mingle it into Christianity. The problem is you and I that are not Jewish by nature have no idea really when we come to Jesus Christ what these old feasts are all about until we grow and learn about, you know, Old Testament history. But even with that, we can't keep those feasts the way they were commanded to keep them. There's not even a temple to go and offer up a sacrifice if we need to. But yet today, we see a perversion of the gospel all over. And what is the gospel? The gospel of grace, Jesus Christ and Him crucified for you. Wherein lies your victory, your future, your hope, your blessing, your leading, your guidance, God's hand upon you. Amen. But the problem is when we default into law or the merit system, the problem with it, it does not address the sin nature of the individual. You see, the sin nature. Let's talk about that just for a brief moment. Every single one of us has a human nature, a divine nature if you're born again, but we still have what's called the sin nature that we inherited from our grandfather Adam when he fell in the garden with his wife. Sin has been passed down unto every man, for all have sinned. We got a sin issue. There's a sin factor, but the grace factor is greater than the sin factor. And the sin factor is what gives you and I our trouble. It's that sin factor that keeps us apathetic towards the things of God. It's that sin nature that keeps us in the works of the flesh and keeps that drama alive in your life. That sin nature is what propenses us towards that temptation, that ungodly desire, whatever it may be. Amen. That old nature. Or it'll take us to the other extreme and make us hyper-spiritual more than the next guy. See, that old nature has to be dealt with. And it can only be subdued by one greater than it. And that is the power of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, the one who took it to the cross and broke sin's power. Because He broke Satan's power. You see, it's that sin nature where Satan gets advantage of every believer. What trips you up? We can say, oh, the devil made me do it. No, he just got a hook into that old nature of yours, and you just followed right along. That's what happens. But thank God, through Jesus Christ, that has been rendered dormant in the believer's life. And if I will maintain faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and make Him my passion and make Him learn of Him, learn what He did for me at Calvary's cross and the benefits thereof, I will find grace starting to help me and strengthening me and making me stronger. And I'm telling you, the grace of God will bring forth the plan of God in your life and in my life. It is the grace of God by which we live. That is the unseen power source that is to be in every believer's heart that causes all things to work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. It is the grace of God that will advance your life, that will increase your life, that will bring, how can I say, God's blessing to you on a daily basis. My God, every one of us want to be blessed by God, but how does it come? It comes through the cross. My God, it comes through the cross. There's only one source. One source. And I know today, because I talk to people, why doesn't God answer my prayer? Why doesn't God do this? Well, then when you get down to the bottom of it, they got a generic belief in God, a generic form of Christianity. Very few are on the right foundation. Jesus said that way is narrow. Few there be that find it. See. And what's He talking about? The way, the pathway of the cross. Wherein lies your victory. Your victory. Amen. But when we default and move away from faith and believing in a finished work, we realize then that we go back into law-keeping, performance Christianity. You see, I ask you a question. What kind of life does that produce in the believer? What has that produced in you in years gone by until you understood the grace of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ? It puts you in a place where you're always under condemnation. You feel you never measure up before God. And finally, you get sick of trying. And if you didn't hang around the church, you just found your way out and just, in your mind, it doesn't work for me. It didn't work for you because either you weren't taught the true gospel, or you're just believing something that you want to believe and you're not putting your faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And there's no power there. And now you're just wondering, man, is this all it is? Is there anything more to this? There's got to be more to this thing. You see, when you go back into law keeping, number one, it can't justify. It can't justify you, but grace will justify your sin. It'll justify you in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. When you and I do not put our faith in the crucified and the finished work, it'll bring the curse on your life. Paul said it, I believe, in Galatians, is it 2 or 3? It says, ye that are under the law are under a curse. What he's saying there, you're not cursed of God like I curse you. He's saying basically that the blessing of God has been lifted off your life. He can't help you because you're not in a legal position where God can help you as a believer. Listen, God functions through the legal system ordained by God. God's gospel is not a hodgepodge gospel, throw the mud at the wall, hopefully some of it sticks. That's the way a lot of believers approach their Christian experience. I'll throw a prayer or two up. I'll read a Bible verse or two. I'll show up for church once in a while. I'll talk to God on occasion, whatever. And then when you're in trouble, you're upset, you kick the dog, you shoot the cat, you wonder where God is. Right? No. Only grace can justify. Only faith in what has been already provided to you. And this is what we're trying to bring you. Where's Pastor Jeff trying to bring us? I want you to believe what's already been done. I want you to believe it by faith and become your operating system. That you can function every minute of every day under the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. And for you, my friend, there will be no condemnation. My God, that's all I'm trying to do. Amen. Well, why do you always got to repeat it? Why do you got to be so? Why is everything the cross, the blood, the finished work, Jesus crucified, blah, 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 blah? Because, my friend, that's where you're going to be blessed. Amen. Amen. And that's where your children are going to get saved. And that's where your grandchildren are going to get saved. That's where God's going to move in you and your family and advance you in His will. It's got to be your faith in the right object. It has to be. There's no other option. The default is law. And you remove yourself from under the umbrella of God's goodness for you. What He provides in your grace. Listen to some of this. When we default to law, we're under something that can't justify us. It brings in the curse. It is not of faith, but now it's of works. It cannot give you an inheritance. All the law and all the law that was in the Old Testament that we tried, all the Ten Commandments, they're good commandments. The law is good, it's holy, it's righteous, it's just. But it shows us our inability to live right. Because it shows you, I can't keep everything all the time, 100%, even in thought, word, or deed, everything God demands. And all it points out is it exposes my weakness and my inability to be able to live for God through what I do. But yet that's where millions of believers default to. They still think they can pay off the debt. Amen? It brings on the curse, but grace will bring the blessing. It is not faith but of works, but grace is by faith alone. The law cannot give you an inheritance, but grace inherits all the promises. I need His promises. My God. I need His promises, my friend. And the promises in Him are yes and amen. Yes and amen. But Pastor, I really messed up. The promises for you are yet, yes and amen. Amen. Just put it under the blood. Put yesterday under the blood. It's gone. Put it under the blood. Forget about it. Forgive it. God has already forgiven it in Christ. It's like it's the old saying, this day is the first day of the rest of your life. This minute is the first minute of the rest of your life. Forget about what was. Look to what is yet to be. Amen. Oh, but Pastor, the wreckage, the hurt, the problems I've caused. Listen, it doesn't matter in the sense of make it right as much as you can. Take it before the Lord. But you know what? Get up, walk free of the condemnation because you are a child of God and God will make all things work together for good. Amen. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, but men love law. They love keeping law. They love doing things. But the law cannot give life, but grace will give life and that more abundantly. The law, and by trying to merit my way with God, cannot give me righteousness that God accepts. But grace will impute the freely given righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. My God, let me just go on a few minutes here. Few moments. Do you know when you put yourself in default out of the cross and you don't put your faith and you're still trying to make your way with God, it'll make you a servant to that law. It'll make you slaves to it. But if you're under grace, you become a son or a daughter that receives the benefits of sonship. Amen? And you become an heir to the fortune of God, the riches of His grace. Amen. You go under law, you're going back into bondage. But grace will bring the true liberty of God. Amen. Amen. Picture story. Most of you know in Bivocational, we do motorcycle trike conversions. It's been a killer year, I'll tell you what. We've built 13 of these. I did 13 all last year. I'm at 13 now, maybe 14. And I got a couple to finish up and you know, we can breathe again for a little bit. But the demands of that have been excruciating. And I'm a pastor. You know, and then I wrestle with this. Okay, you know, you always feel that. The voice on this side, the voice on this side. You're a pastor. You're not supposed to be doing things that take you away from the call of God. But yet, with the call of God. There's always so much you can do. So if you sit at that office all day long, you're just wasting time anyway. Oh, but you need to waste time anyway and just get over there and everything more will happen if you're just doing that. Well, you need to give up the business because you should be a preacher. Well, if you were a preacher, then everything like this, well, then God would take care of, you know. You know why you're laughing? Because you probably have those two imps on each of your shoulders too. Amen. And you know what? There's truth in it. I have been very busy. And there are some things that I hate to say it, that I've had to let slip through the cracks because I'm one person. I got up before God. And then I feel the condemnation. You're a pastor. Well, you should be. And you need to be. And you gotta be. Because I come through that circle. I had a preacher tell me, God doesn't need another body, man. He needs preachers. Well, that's a true statement. But you know what? God still needs body men out there, too. Because what are you going to do when your car gets cracked up if there's no body men out there because they're all preachers now? I know what he was saying. I know what he was saying. He meant well. He meant well. But the bottom line is that condemnation you feel because you're one person and you know you're letting something slip through the cracks. You can't do it all. One day we'll get caught up soon. But that condemnation, that's where Satan works. Satan works in that and tries to make you feel like you're nothing. And that God is really disappointed in you. And that you're not doing it right. And if you were really called, well, what about? But then I had to sit in my rocking chair at 3:30 this morning when I couldn't sleep. And having a nice quiet time before God, with God and I said, Lord, I can't do it all. But I thank God that you've put me here. And you've called me to do what I'm doing on both sides of this fence. And until you would shut one door or the other, I have no choice but to do two. Because I still have to be a provider, take care of my family. Amen. And fulfill the talents and the graces you've given me. God hasn't only given me an ability to teach and preach, but he's anointed these hands that we can do paint jobs and do motorcycle conversions. And I love what I do. I've never been more fulfilled in my life. But that voice of the enemy. Amen. I mean, we were ready to step. We were going to start another church in Amro. You know, you talk about God slamming a door. We had the banners up. We had some of the equipment moved. That building had been for sale for 8-9 years, I think. And the week we're going to start, a guy walks in with an open checkbook, basically, and says, I'm going to buy it. Wham! I reeled on that one a little bit. It was only a few weeks after that. God opened. I got a phone call. A dear friend of mine from years ago. He said, Jeff, I'm doing these tri conversions. I started this company. I need some help. If I can get you a day here a week just to help me with some of the body work. I said, yeah, I guess I can help you with that. And I helped Randy. Little by little, over the span of a year and a half, I'm helping him putting these things together. And little by little, this door opened up. And little by little, guess what? My needs are finally getting met and provided for. And we've built like 26-7 trikes already. And in 2 years, you know, on top of this, I mean, it's just been a wonderful thing. And people we have met and shared the Lord with and the customers we talked to and some of them we prayed with. And I'm telling you, you know what I'm finding? The grace of God is all we need. If I'm in his grace, it's okay. Amen? Because if I'm trying to hear from God, if he's going to redirect us, he'll redirect us. It's okay. We can hear from God. Amen? But meanwhile, let's enjoy the journey. Let's just let Jesus Christ be Jesus Christ. Let's just let things be and let him be the Lord. Amen? And let him steer our ship and guide our way. The point I'm trying to make, you're going to be most happy and most fulfilled when you lay down the religion stuff and pick up true faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen? And fulfill what you do with your talents and graces and abilities God has given you, and there you'll be happy. And plant yourself and abide there, and let the Lord be the king of your life. Let him be the king of your life. And when other people, other men, other women, always yanking at you and trying to say, you need this, and you need this, and you need this, and you need this, you know, I'll borrow Lauren's term. Listen, life is a buffet table. Just go grab your own plate and grab what you want yourself. Amen. Just leave me to what I am, okay? Amen. Understand it this way. The grace of the gospel, the grace of God, is all you need. I love believing, and I love resting in a finished work. For once, I can enjoy the Lord and enjoy what I do without guilt and condemnation. Amen. It takes the stress out of living. Amen. Because I know there's an unseen hand. It's called providence, guiding the affairs of my life. Amen. And as long as I'm in faith and in fellowship with Jesus Christ, and as long as you're in faith and in fellowship with Jesus Christ, watch out. Because God's going to kick this thing wide open for you. Amen. You haven't seen nothing yet. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. As we close, musicians, please. This is why Paul was so worked up. He said, I marvel that you would leave what I've preached to you for something that's going to put you under bondage, that will steal your joy, that will rob you of vitality and even your finances and your time. Years ago, we'd run and run and run and do and do and do, and we thought, oh man, how spiritual we are. And all it did is puffed us up, because it just made me look at other people. Well, they're not doing what I'm doing, so they're just not as spiritual, I guess, you know. You think, well, you didn't think like that. Well, we've all thought like that at times. When you're in the wrong gospel, you will think like that. But now I realize that you and I are all products of grace, products of His mercy, products of becoming sons and daughters of God, to know the joy of the Lord, the victory of Jesus Christ, to know His grace, His love, and His mercy. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Let's stand. If you need prayer, the altars are open. I'm going to ask those that normally help, come and pray, to come on up. Those that are able, come. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with this message of grace. It's okay. It's all right. It takes time that this becomes second nature in your spirit. It's not too hard, no matter who you are. All you got to do is say, Jesus, I believe you, and I believe you died for me. And I believe my victory has been provided through the cross when you paid the price. And if I just put my faith there every day, just believe that. Oh, Satan may kick. The winds may blow contrary. But you'll bring me forth always to a perpetual victory in Jesus Christ. I'll come to know joy and peace and mercy as I've never known. I'll begin to see answered prayers I've never seen. I'll begin to sense an undergirding power working in my life, where those old internal impulses of sin aren't troubling me as they used to, because I'm finding Christ is subduing that old man in me by His mercy and by His power. If you're here today and you just want somebody to pray with you for a few moments, to agree in prayer, whatever it may be, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar. Come to the altar, have somebody pray with you here, but let's let the Lord touch us today. God wants to strengthen you. He wants you touched. He wants you healed. He wants you to know His power, His joy. All you need is His grace. And the true gospel will make you free and prepare you for all things. Let's come. Let's come, as they say. Oh, she didn't have a microphone. Okay. She'll just play the piano.